AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
You go back up on the hill.
Good.
Great sports talk.
Do not throw your Lane Kiffin shirts away. Bring them down to Hound Dogs. We'll give you 20% off of another shirt, and we're going to send all those shirts that you don't want, that you want to burn, down to Hades to the children.
That's pretty sad commentary on us.
I'd like to read an impromptu quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald for the theme of the show.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
Even when they enter deep into our world and sink below us, they still think that they are better than we are. They are different. F. Scott Fitzgerald on The Rich.
Seems pretty random. Don't know why you'd read that, how that's applicable to today's news or stories that we should or should not be covering. But a big thank you to James Bergener.
That was good.
Who perhaps saved us from slander in our last segment.
We were able to solve our issues with Arash, I think. He said he's all good, and he said he loves us. I think we're all good.
We can love Arash, and we can hate the tweet. It's okay.
According to Arash, we misinterpreted the tweet. And we have to take him at his word if we don't want to have him on.
You know what, Arash? My apologies. Oh, we're stacked.
Well, it's just Kevin Figgers gets mad if we put him on. I mean, because he's going on Rogan and Rodney.
He's going to be on Rogan and
Rodney
tomorrow.
Like when we double up.
No.
You know, if we put Ned Coletti on a day he's on Rogan and Rodney, do you know what that's like?
He's an LA Times columnist. He's going to share his opinions.
Right.
People want to hear what they are tomorrow on Rogan and Rodney.
That's no duck walk anymore.
Damn right it ain't. What do we got going?
We got a big party on Tuesday. Maybe Arash can come down for that.
Oh,
you
want to
be somewhere where it's at, Arash? Yeah. You let go of Craig's with A-Rod, and you embrace El Torito in the city of Orange.
Not confirmed, Olivia or Isabella Laughlin. Don't know if they would frequent the El Torito at the outlets at Orange right off the 22 at the City Drive. But we do. This is our kind of place, because we're men of the people. Our show is a show of the people.
Matt's going to ride his icebreaker yacht down to 22 and just break up that freeway.
I hate to correct you, but I'm going to fly my plane there. I'm just gonna land the Cirrus right there in the parking lot. You know, I'm an aviator. I like private plane transportation.
You like Harrison Ford?
Darn right. Oh, yeah.
Who am I speaking to?
I'm the idiot that landed on the runway.
But, you know, plane's on a golf course right now. Almost killed a guy. He was about to beat Massimo, and he freaked out and missed the putt.
Here's a text. I had a sweet Massimo tank top in 1993. Wore it with a real big dog shorts.
It's a good look.
Teal big dog shorts and LA gears. Dude was ahead of his time.
We all had Massimo shorts.
Miss your putt. Miss your putt so Moss can win. So he'll buy us drinks.
F you, Blaine.
And I got all the skins. And Moss left.
Well, we're talking about skins.
What it was,
now,
dude.
I'm going to make the putt.
And Moss was hot.
Wear it. By the way, can I have a sweet pair of them G4 shoes and some of them Link soles on your way out?
So come a little bit closer. You're my kind of man.
We'll see ya Tuesday, El Torito, Orange, outlets at Orange, right off the 22 at City Drive, 3 to 6:30 p.m. We'll be there.
I stopped at what used to be my Texaco. That's my Texaco. It's now a 76 in Wilmington on Anaheim Street, Matt, to get gas today. And I was already running late. And I thought about our remote because I saw a guy get out of a car that was a dead ringer.
Four?
A foot shorter, but a dead ringer for Solo Sports, the prize hooker.
That'll get your gag reflex going.
Yeah, I was going to go in and buy some hot nuts, and then I was like, you know what? I can't eat.
Was he driving one of them? Was he driving a sweet Beamer convertible?
No.
Like Solo Sports
does?
No,
white truck.
Oh.
Like Kate's. Like a chick truck.
I'm sorry?
Like a chick truck.
Bro, what's wrong with white truck?
Outside of the Glendale city limits? All right. Pasadena,
you got to get to this.
Pasadena on a Saturday and Friday and Thursday.
Listen, my man. You want me to weigh in on this, or what are we doing here?
Where is Don?
I don't know. I thought he was going to come in.
All right, let's do the Let's do it, man.
Eliminate yourself in the Bachelor Report.
It's over.
I did not need Olivia's help. I did get food poisoning and miss a week, and there was like some big news, and we missed a week. But I successfully completed The Bachelor this year, and I don't think, I'm not trying to pat my own back.
But you are.
Yeah. I don't think I didn't think I had it in me. I really didn't. I didn't think I could complete it. But with the help of fully functional employee Adam, Balake, also known as Blake, down the hall, and
Tim Cates, all season
primarily,
long.
We were able to pull it off. So I'd like to thank everybody, and I'd like to thank myself. Okay, Matt, thank you.
There you go. Round of applause from the gallery.
Thanks, guys. I thought I was going to go on longer. A lot of people remember where we were last night, but Matt's probably not one of them. Do you remember where we left it?
Yeah. He knocked on the door of sir, and he was like,
Cassie. Colton is his name.
Colton Cassie.
He has sent home both the women that want to marry him, and
they're gone. I love you. You told me to beat it. You broke my heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Big boss Don Martin weighing in on the Bachelor Report.
Cassie, who is, it's either that or Arash is a
23-year-old Huntington Beach-based speech pathologist.
Right.
Father cares about her, flew all the way to Portugal and says, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Right.
She says, all right, I'm out of here. Colton cries like easily the biggest bitch grown man in the history of television, at least from the audio I heard. A blubbering, slobbering fool.
And we did pull some good audio for you.
No doubt.
No?
And this
no,
is
no
our
doubt.
This
no.
is our boss, Don
doubt,
Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to sit this one out a little bit because boss...
No,
watches.
I'm good. I just sit here.
No,
he's here.
You're here. This is important. I'm an observer.
But I sit here like you. I said, first of all, what a douche. I mean, and then she played him. She played him.
Well, we got clips.
Oh, I get it.
That's why I
we'll
put the headset on you, but okay, I didn't want it to mess up your hair.
It's all good. It's all good. So here's where we're at, Petros, is before we even get there, the man can't call himself a man.
I mean, well, I don't seriously. Think that's fair. I don't. I mean,
and then his dad cries as much as he
well,
does.
Well, we have that. Okay, all
okay,
right.
So
go ahead.
Hold that thought.
So we've now established where he is. Is Cassie going to take him back or not?
Well, what is
right?
she going to do? Now he's given her every single out in the world. We don't have to get married. No pressure. No Neil Lane. No engagement ring. My family is in Spain. They'd love to meet you. What's she supposed to do? You know, she's got to go along with it. If it's like if Caruso invites you onto the yacht, what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
You're going to go to the Bahamas.
Right? We all would go.
It's Caruso's yacht.
Nassau.
I'm not going to say no to that.
Get out there with Caruso.
Get some conch.
Oh, God. You know, it gives you a real one, you know.
Vic, you don't know how good it
is.
I'm
going to conch in you.
It's the best food on earth.
Got a conch shake. Conch. Omelette.
I used to make it for my wife, Julie.
Conch martini.
She said the conch is so good.
Conch toothpaste. Anyway, so... That's neither here nor there. These people are actually in Portugal. So he goes.
It's one big inside joke. You
she
know that, boss.
She of course drops her shoulders and goes, "All right, you know, whatever. I'll play this one.
Twist
out.
My arm.
I'll take your virginity." So she goes. she goes to Spain, and you wonder why Colton's such a crying little bitch. And real men do cry. Strong
but
men
like,
do
not
cry.
Like this.
Not like.
Not
this.
Like.
Well, listen to the dad. Here's the dad crying to the son who cried all season.
I'm always concerned for your heart and for what could happen.
It's genetic, poor kid. Can't help himself.
It doesn't worry me. It just... I know how you are when you're in love. I've seen it. And it was amazing.
Love so hard.
Seeing you hurt after that hurt bad. And wow. You don't think any part of this wanting what you can't have?
Pussification of an American male.
I don't think you can say that.
Yeah, you can.
No, I don't think you can.
Why not?
Can we
right.
say that
it's,
now?
It's, you're right. It's safe harbor.
Hurt bad.
I mean, he just brought the American male down
Wait
to
minute.
The ground.
Wait
hey, boys,
minute.
Come
it's
see
a,
me in the
dude,
office.
Dude, it's okay to cry.
They've
I
all been
get
fired.
It. We've all cried, Petros. You're right.
Strong men
But we don't shake... Like we're having a seizure.
We don't sob.
We don't sob until the girl begs, please don't cry, please don't cry. But if you leave me, okay, fine, I won't leave if you stop crying. Holy cow.
It's like a cop, you know? The cop's just like, all right, I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'll marry you, all right? Please,
yeah.
God. So, of course, they go through all the motions, but there are no motions to go through because there's no engagement. Like, America wants the money shot, so to speak. And I'm not talking about porn, but I kind of am.
Heard bad.
You know, there's a reason that, like, the porn site cuts off right before, and they're like, you got to pay if you want the money shot. You know, America wants the money shot. They want the engagement. They want the ring. And we didn't get that. So people feel a little bit deflated by this. And the deflation is absolutely audible and visible when you see it on TV in the after the final rose. Harrison's like, so you guys are in love? And she's like, yeah, totally in love.
And you could tell she was waiting for her dad just to come in and say, honey, it's okay. Because he already told her he wasn't going to give her permission to marry this son of a
Well, wait, wait. We don't know about his mom. She seemed like a nice woman. We don't know. Anyway, here's some sound, and you guys can be the judge.
You really do love this man.
I do. Yeah.
And now you know he jumped a fence for you and ran away. How does that feel?
Honestly, watching it back, I had no idea how dramatic it was until I saw it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I love him like I love my dog.
But apparently he ran right into your arms.
I know. I'm so glad that he did, too. I feel like the luckiest girl.
Oh,
clearly.
My God.
I feel like the luckiest girl.
I feel like the luckiest girl.
Did she have prompter?
Yeah.
I like to think there was like some good editing. Like, hey, you're going to ask her to go out to dinner with you. She's going to say yes. But when we go back to post, you're going to say, would you continue this journey of love with me? And then she'll say yes. That's how this played out, right?
I feel like the luckiest girl.
To do what? I mean,
hey, you just won $25,000 on the craps table.
Now I got to ask you guys both a question.
Son-la.
Did she play him though? I mean, honest to God, when you look back,
did she play him? No, yeah. She stuck.
No, I know she left him. She slammed him. She body slammed him. Kicked him in the face a couple of times. He kept coming back like a whoop puppy. Now at the end of the day, all she wanted him to do was throw those other two girls off.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, I think that she expected him to pull a JoJo. Because remember, the guy that JoJo wanted left, and so she just picked up with the other, married him. It's like, hey, I'll take this guy.
I'm out.
Yeah, this guy can sow my field. Bang! You know, I mean, I think she thought that Colton was just going to jump the lily pad to the next available virgin breaker. But she didn't.
Now, have they announced the Bachelorette yet?
Yes.
Don't they always do that?
Yeah, it's Hannah.
Yeah.
The Southern girl.
One
of the beauty queens.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a
van. She was the dumbest girl on there, right?
Yeah, but like, she was really one dumb. Of the beauty queens.
People making a horrible incest joke said it's not going to be a limo, but a van of all of her uncles and cousins just tumbling out.
Wow, you guys are dark.
Southern American, you said something that got up underneath my skin.
Well, I mean,
I would have gone with that little blonde girl that was just crazy.
Demi?
Yeah. She would have filled up the TV.
I'll lock your fire. You are a spark plug. So I've done it. That's it. I've done
it's
it.
Over.
We're
it's
done.
That's it.
We're
I mean,
done.
It was.
We
it was
that's
the
how
worst.
Bad it was. We only had two highlights.
Oh no,
dude, it was the worst ever. Ever.
This one's for you, Matt.
Okay.
How do you end a deflating ass Bachelor season? When everybody's so deflated, there's no air left. What do you need?
Chris Harrison inspirational message.
You need air supply.
Here's a live performance.
Oh my God.
By a legendary band, ladies and gentlemen. Air Supply.
Yes. Live.
Oh,
dancing.
Making love out of nothing at all. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
And they were dancing, and there were roses falling, petals. And I know just how to ski. They sound good.
I saw them at the Canyon Club.
You know what? They sound better than they looked. They look leather.
That goes without saying. But that being said, Matt's been a long proponent of Air Supply. A lot of people were like, this is so stupid, Air Supply. It's like, this is the only thing that could save it in
Damn
my
right.
opinion.
Damn right. What do you want, Ariana Grande out there? F that, man. Give me Air Supply. Making love out of all.
So there you go. That's The Bachelor.
So that's an appropriate lyric. Cut, making cut, love out cut, of nothing at all.
Just cut this for a minute. I want to talk to both of you
God
for one
said,
second.
Don said cut it.
Cut it.
You guys are hosts of shows. You guys know how to host, whether it's TV, radio, it doesn't matter. The all-time just worst.
Don't do it.
Don't.
I mean, it,
you gonna go after Harrison?
It's not even going after. I mean, how do you
do I
look
have to? I don't
yourself
need to say anything.
In the mirror after some of the gratuitous
hey.
Just...
The money is over his eyes.
Selling
it's an incredible amount of money.
You know what? It's like the greatest in the all time. It's like, dude, seriously. How do you yourself in the mirror and cash that check?
I can only say it by one thing.
You come off like a buffoon.
Well, of course. But look at our show. But
very serious. I mean, eyebrow.
My answer would be these people want to be exploited. So how do you, I mean, are you exploiting, can it be exploitation when you're exploiting people that are desperate to be exploited?
It's happened 22 times before.
You've hit it right on the head, too, because full audience. Okay, full
audience.
The number
one show in America.
And they come back after just the most anticlimactic, just nothing of a show. And all these dingbat ladies are sitting there, they're all clapping their hands and cheering like, oh, my God, greatest thing in America. Go, what the
people
hell
don't think.
Are we watching?
They don't want to think, boss. They just want you to put
But they were nice-looking grown folks in the audience. I'm going, can you get a life?
I mean, what is the option?
Might as well have been the crowd at South Pacific. What the hell are they doing there at The Bachelor?
What else can they do? They can listen to this show and get some sort of entertainment value.
What else is Colton going to do? His job is a guy that never made an active roster in the NFL.
Hey, I'm that guy.
Neither one of them's going to go on and teach children or anything.
Well, no, she's a speech
pathologist.
She's
a speech therapist.
You know what?
Career.
She's 23 years
That's a
old.
Good
she's trying to figure out exactly what life is all about.
Well,
and
she,
now
it's going to be about taking
a shower
with Colton.
And now she's stuck with this anvil around her leg.
Maybe not.
Anvil.
Maybe it was just a
She's just dragging this beast down the road, hanging on her while he's shaking and crying.
She's
Please,
not obligated.
Don't leave me.
She's not obligated.
Dude, she couldn't hide from him. He's going to search her out anywhere she goes.
Well, it's not like not without my daughter. I mean, I'm sure he's going to figure it out. Now that he's had sex with her, I'm sure he'll be on to the next.
Well, he didn't say he did.
He didn't say he didn't.
He didn't have to. I don't think he knows how.
You got a live private concert from Air Supply? Sign my ass up. Sign me up.
Well, I feel like we've added nothing to your show today, guys.
Thank you,
have
boss.
A good rest of the
well
day.
Well done,
hey,
boss.
You too. Thank you for being with us.
That
that's our
great.
Boss, Don Martin.
You were the most vulgar out of all of us, so
yeah.
That's good for us.
And if Arash Markazi texts...
vulgar.
That's great for us, boss.
If our
it
friend Arash
clinical.
Texts you that we've been unfair yes. today, tell him...
that's just the guys.
Yeah, say that's just
yes, guys.
You know, Arash, he just sent me a cease and desist. But other than that, everything was fine.
All right, we're doing well.
I feel like it's been a productive show so far.
Good job.
Another hour left.
We are all out of love, though. I think that goes without saying.
Yep.
And I know.
Coming up next, Raiders talk.
Free agency, Antonio Brown introduced today. It's a little late for his first introduction to the Raider Nation. But we'll get into all the signings. What do they mean? How have things changed for the silver and black? Yeah, we'll get into all that.
Huddle, everybody. What's cracking? And welcome back. Petros and Money is on the air. It's a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday, and we're hoisting that rag for the Dodgers tonight.
That's the truth.
Taking on the White Sox pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7. And don't forget, we're live from El Torito in the city of Orange, right off the 22 at the City Drive. That's 3 to 6:30 next Tuesday from the El Torito, Torito in Orange. The Big Naranja. So we'll see you there. And don't you miss it. It's important.
Good thing we're servicing the folks of the greater Orange, California area.
They never see us.
They never get to see us. Oh, yeah, that's right. Off the 22 at the City Drive. It might as well be us giving you the address to our office. We will be there once again. We love the area.
At least it's close to your house.
The outlets at Orange. The El Torito from 3 to 6:30 p.m. Just 6 days away.
No love for Torrance.
What will we be giving away? Something.
Oh, I promise you.
Something.
If I have to give you the shoes off my feet,
you've
we're giving away something. I have. If you want to vote on the Who's the Biggest Slob poll, it's up at Petros and Money or at Matt Money Smith on Twitter. You can see it. Is it fully functional employee Adam? Is it Matt Smith? Or is it me?
Feel as though we've reached consensus status by now. Not that either of us. Look all that great.
You
look.
You got the. You got good pants today, Matt. You pants some good pants.
But you got socks. You got fashionable socks.
I am socked and bocked.
And I got a little bit of the dry hair going too. The hair is a little disheveled.
Well, you just put a little moisture.
I recognize
you had to.
That it was. Yeah, it wasn't working.
Yeah, your hair was flat.
It was really flat.
And you know when your hair's flat, you're not all that.
Especially when you got a skinny, tiny head, it looks really weird.
Let's do the top story of the day, everybody.
Top story of the day.
And the top story of the day is brought to you by Kinetic Financial. Sort out all of your financial queries by hitting #250 on your cell. Saying Kinetic Financial, Ali, our man over there, is an author of a bestseller on tax code and tax law. Keep all that money in your pocket, or at least a lot of it, and out of the grubby, dirty hands of the feds.
Oh, man.
They probably didn't want me to put it that way, but new tax laws. Make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Dirty Fed hands, man.
Right.
Keep those dirty Fed hands. The dirty Fed hands are all over USC right now, so you might get a break. It's like when all the cops in town are at the bank and you're over at the liquor store robbing it for the Twinkies.
Right about that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we can go get a run right now. There ain't nobody going to sniff it out.
Let's do it, brother.
Let's go get a couple cases of Bud Light.
We discussed it in the Word of the Day, P. It is a pickup on all things football. Who would have guessed? Uh-huh. This is about maybe the last 3 years. I don't think it's even a half decade where NFL free agency has become this big of a deal. Now you had
much more movement, much more stuff like that.
Yeah,
maybe about 5-6 years now.
I mean, there was the Reggie White seminal moment. He leaves the Eagles.
Herschel Walker.
Packers.
I mean, Eric Dickerson. But you could count those
right.
big
I mean,
trades.
Those are trades. I just mean free agency. We're going to give $100 million to this guy, and he's going to get you excited about football. That this is new.
And some of the guys seem kind of nameless, and then people look them up and try to. But Antonio Brown, stuff like that, you know, right. That is huge news. When Case Keenum goes out to D.C., that is big news.
That's and remember last year, it was the Kirk Cousins ball. Who right. is going to sign the greatest free agent quarterback ever to hit the market? Because, you know, Drew Brees, he had anchors in his shoulder. So that wasn't, you know, there was only the Dolphins. And what if the Dolphins? What we're getting at is it's different. And you mentioned the trades. And the trades obviously are a huge part of this. It's not just Le'Veon Bell free agency, but it's the trade of Antonio Brown, probably the best receiver in the game. If it's not him, it's probably Odell Beckham Jr., and that dude was traded as well
right.
in the last 3 days. So,
and
yes.
We used to be able to count, like, the big trades of our lifetime on one hand. You know, Reggie White, Herschel Walker. I mean, Reggie White wasn't a trade, but Herschel Walker was, Eric Dickerson was. You know, that is
there are not many of those.
Doesn't happen.
No, if you take the draft out of it, and
but you
draft
just had the
trades,
two biggest best receivers in the NFL traded within days of each other. That is different.
Both
Much
of them,
different.
And not to, and I know this is not what the people care about, but again, and one of the reasons why we don't ever have this is because teams are not interested in eating $20 million, which is what the Giants did. They just handed that dude $20 million in a signing bonus a year ago, and they ate it for a third to worst performance over the last season when they sent him to Cleveland.
And I don't know how you weigh this out, but in the NFL where most players are faceless, it's not easy to trade a player that people recognize their face. People know what Antonio Brown looks like, especially with that stupid stash. People know what Odell Beckham looks like.
Odell Beckham is the most popular football player in the world. And I don't hesitate to say it ain't even close. There is that when you go
travesty
overseas, and just because I happen to just have gone to the UK, that dude is everywhere. You cannot turn your head without seeing Odell Beckham Jr. He is LeBron, Tiger Woods level. And to kick that dude out of New York, of all places in Metropolis, the number one market, to send him to Cleveland is badass crazy. But beyond that, one of the things that comes out today, or I should say that comes out of the day for me, is the fact the Raiders rated kind of contenders. You know, we thought that John Gruden was going to tear this thing to the ground. He was going to rebuild it. He was going to collect draft picks. They were going to be bad until they got to Las Vegas. He recognized, okay, we're not going to be able to step to maybe the Chargers and the Chiefs in the division. But that all changed with what they did this offseason. Point is, it appeared as though this was going to be a long-term rebuild. It was three first-round picks.
Call us when we're in Vegas.
Gone. Yeah. Exactly. Amari Cooper gone. We'll get our quarterback of the future. Maybe a defensive end here with the fourth pick. Instead, you're talking about the highest-paid left tackle, the highest-paid wide receiver, and now they just do a deal for the Chargers' Tyrell Williams. And the thing is, each of those hit a Super Bowl worthy in the conversation of headed to the Super Bowl and the AFC competitor. The Chargers lose a guy that has the second most catches, I'll say it again, second most 50-plus and 40-plus yard catches to Tyreek Hill, an explosive receiver to play opposite of Antonio Brown, who's going to be double-teamed all over the place.
Take the top off, you two guys down the field with him, and then Antonio comes on that deep cross underneath. Oh, what pow!
Now, there is a flip side. You want the
There's a flip side to that coin.
There's a flip side, and here's the negative. When you sign guys in free agency for big money, if you look and just take any team, what you see is it's something they blew in the draft. You blow Colton Miller in the draft, you sign Trent Brown. You blow Obi Melifonwu and Carl Joseph in the draft, you sign LaMarcus Joyner.
I love Carl Joseph.
And that's what happens in Darren Lee for the Jets. Here's $85 million C.J. Mosley. I mean, that if,
and
if
it you sets felt, you back.
It sets you back because you should have. So
put your fingers in the dust.
And, of course, where am I going with this? There's a reason why the Patriots rarely make a splash in free agency because they do such a damn good job of drafting players that fit their system. And this is where, as the voice of the Bolts, full disclosure, Tom Telesco has had fantastic drafts the last 3-4 years.
There's no doubt about that. Everybody they bring in has been very productive.
It works out. So they don't need, you know, last
year.
Not to
mention Derwin James, of course, who's an outlier.
I mean, if you just go through their last, you know, handful of first-round picks, Mike Williams, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Melvin Gordon, these are all wildly productive players. So you don't need to spend the giant amount of money in free agency because you struck out in the draft. Mike Pouncey last year is a perfect example of how Tom Telesco navigates free agency. An all-pro center who made the Pro Bowl, and he got him because it was a specific fit for a need, and it wasn't flashy, but damn, was it effective. They signed Thomas Davis. They get a backup quarterback as insurance. They bring back Brandon Mean. I would assume there's still one more out there for the Chargers. And Ndamukong Suh wants to stay on the West Coast. That may be we're going to save some money and plug him into the defensive tackle position. But again, is it impressive what the Raiders are doing? No question about it. But remember, they have to do that because their drafts have to some degree been abject failures the last few seasons, and they have to plug those holes.
Well, I mean.
And why not plug them with players from other competitive teams in the AFC?
I mean, they could go full.
Rebuild. It's interesting that they decided not to do that.
Right? I mean, are they trying to do it for Oakland?
It's interesting to see they decided not to do that. And instead, they're
for the
spending,
people of Oakland, yeah. Matt, for E40.
Hey, one last hurrah on the way out, right? Everybody, come see us. This will be a great time.
We're a real blue-collar show today.
Aren't we, though?
Pop it, everybody. Welcome back. PMS is on the air and happy to be with you on this beautiful We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday. Don't forget, next Tuesday, March 19th, El Torito in Orange, right off the 22 at the City Drive. That's 3 to 6:30 on Tuesday, next Tuesday, from the El Torito in Orange. And tonight we have Dodgers versus White Sox. Pregame at 6:30. First pitch is at 7. And don't forget, the Clippers take on the Bulls on Friday night at 7:30. We'll have the quick hits in the very next segment. Big moves by the Chargers. Interesting news with the Raiders.
Chargers!
And Tony Brown's first press conference.
The silver and black are back.
Punctuality. Not easy in Oakland.
Give it a go, Antonio.
If you want to podcast this show, you can. AM570LASports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone or any other platform to podcast stuff. We switched it up today because Kate's not here. We can do what we want. It's time for the dead guy birthday of the day.
Good one today, P. Our boy Lafayette Ronald. Lafayette Ronald Hubbard. Happy would have been 118th there, Ronnie.
Ronald Hubbard?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, that's, yeah. I did see the LRH, couple LRH birthday posters being circulated around social media. Let's go to the LRH.
The Battlefield Earth. That's what's being screened in my house tonight, starring Travolta, to Tilden, Nebraska, born an only child. Pop's a Navy man, and old Laffy's family was constantly on the move around the U.S. and overseas.
Well, that's why he had the whole boat thing going on.
The Sea Org thing, because he desperately wanted to be an Annapolis man, but he was too stupid to get in.
He has a whole religion behind him.
He went to high school in D.C., Seattle, Helena, Montana. He was a bad student. His family ended up getting stationed in Guam, so he spent some time there, China, Philippines. Mom desperately wanted him to get into Annapolis, but it didn't happen, so he went to GW, tried to organize a Caribbean expedition to find some kind of, like, sunken pirate plunder, damn near killed a bunch of his classmates, and never went back, was, like, too embarrassed or something.
So negative, Matt. You could say,
okay, I'll
natural-born leader.
I'll get positive.
That led his high school on a great expedition.
No, he almost killed those kids
but
from George Washington.
Almost.
He got married.
He had a couple kids. He became...
He had bad teeth.
A somewhat successful Pulp Fiction mag writer. A lot of his articles were sold. He was kind of cruising in the happening circle with, like, Isaac Asimov. And hey, this dude can write. He's pretty good, man.
It's very interesting because, you know, he's like a science fiction writer. And then when you get to the bottom of Scientology, it's like an alien coming and shooting stuff into a volcano.
Well, you know what? That's the part of this story where we talk about his book Excalibur that he shopped around to publishers. He said the inspiration came while he was dead on an operating table for 8 minutes. Others say it was actually a dental extraction in which they pumped him full of nitrous and a little bit too much, and he started hallucinating.
Hey.
He believed that Excalibur would, quote, have a greater impact upon people than the Bible, that this would lead to the notion that everything that exists is trying to survive, and that was the basis of Dianetics and Scientology. He claimed anybody that read the book either went insane or killed themselves. You know, I'm going to take a pass on the book. I appreciate you giving me that heads up.
That's like a ring.
So he exactly enlisted in the Navy when nobody would publish that masterpiece, made a fool of himself repeatedly. In August 1945, and this is nuts, he moved to Pasadena into the mansion of John Whiteside Parsons, the brilliant man, the rocket scientist that founded JPL, yes, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Parsons was also an avid occultist and crazy himself, and Hubbard
couple of freaks
stole his 21-year-old girlfriend, and
it's like one of those parties at Tommy Lee's house in JFK where Kevin Bacon's all painted in gold lamé.
Times like on. Exactly.
Joe Pesci's got the weird eyebrows and the wig, and everybody's going,
I didn't want to get into the details, but apparently Hubbard would like wave around some sort of electromagnetic wand while Parsons would take care of himself and then ask if there were energy readings in the room. Anyway, he convinced Parsons to buy him a yacht, and he and Sarah were going to go scout for people to join what they were doing, and they tried to disappear. And Parsons was quick to understand, I blew that one, huh? And got Hubbard back. Hubbard gave him no money, and I think eventually Parsons just blew himself up in a rocket accident. So Sarah, the girlfriend, and L. Ron decided to just kind of start moving around a little bit. They got married. She didn't know that he had a wife and kids already, so had to sort through that bit of mess. They moved to Georgia. He started writing again. And this is where Dianetics comes in. Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, was published. Somehow it took off immediately. Immediately. It was selling 4,000 copies a week. It was translated into multiple languages. Despite the reviews, the American Psychiatric Association said it had more promises and less evidence per page than any publication since the invention of printing.
Wait a minute. Come on. It's a well-received novel,
yes,
which is a religious document.
Now, Dianetics, even though it was selling, grew into not a church yet, but just a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Nearly failed multiple times, and that's when he decided to make it a religion. He suggested that the true self of a person was called the Thetan, an immortal, omniscient, and potentially omnipotent entity, and we just forgot our godlike powers.
Uh-huh.
So we had to clear all that negativity.
Telling L. Ron's minions all your little secrets about you, all the little things.
So, have you ever had any homosexual thoughts? Oh, can we lock that down here, man? Auditing.
Clear it out.
Became their chief bit of cleansing the Thetans, and they charged a heck of a lot of money for it. People got into it. They started opening up basically franchises where they had to send 10% of gross back to L.A. and Hubbard and what he was doing here in the Scientology Center. Feds took notice. IRS got after him, and Hubbard just disappeared. On his boat.
She took my boat!
The three-boat fleet.
Sea Org
made its way around to different spots.
Pubic hair away from joining Sea Org, Matt and I.
We were close. We got invited.
Anchors away, my friends. We were going to get on the. We were going to bunk together, Matt and I.
I think
top bunk, bottom bunk. We were going to switch off every other day.
Can't remember what the names of the three giant ships were, but he did that for a while.
John Travolta. Tom Cruise.
The Cruise, the Travolta, and the
Dharma
Remini.
And Greg.
There you go. The Elfman.
Yes.
He showed up in random spots.
Darman Florida, Greg's the name of the dinghy.
Queens, La Quinta, Hemet. Ultimately bought a giant, beautiful piece of property and ranch in SLO and spent his final years there. He died in January of 86, but the Scientology leaders announced that he did not die. His body had just become an impediment to his work. And he freed himself to continue his research on another planet.
What's the name of the guy that runs it now? That little guy that hangs
Miscavige.
Up? Yeah, Miscavige. David Miscavige. Yeah, they wear the leather with Cruz.
Cruz saluting the photo.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the interview of him in that black turtleneck where he's like,
if you're not all the way in, I just can't. You just got to be. I'm so just all the way focused on
being. And then, remember when he asked me if I was an SP? And I was like, an SP? Can you believe he asked me? An SP?
I mean an SP.
The City University of New York survey found that by 2010, about 25,000 Americans identified themselves as Scientologists.
But they are wildly wealthy.
Go figure, man.
Billions of dollars.
Go figure.
Not so many members.
Battlefield Earth, starring Travolta. Do yourself a favor. Check it out. Might be the worst
and
film ever.
And Forrest
made.
Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker's in it as well.
Faux Whitaker's up in that.
Good call.
Matt, I'll make this quick because Scientology's a lot to swallow.
Now we're all going to be sued.
The star of one of the greatest movies of the 80s. Annabeth Gish, 48 years old today. Mystic Pizza!
Get it, Gish. God, you love Mystic Pizza.
Do I? Turn it up, baby. She's a handsome 48 today, but man, with that baby fat on her.
That's it, huh?
I loved her.
It's kind of young.
Loved her in Mystic Pizza as Kat. Taken advantage of by that man! That married man! Talking about the stars and Shakespeare. Next thing you know, boom. Sex. With a married man with glasses. One of those 80s guys. Raining in Connecticut. Mystic Connecticut. Teenage Portuguese coming of age. Fish docks, 1988. What a movie, man. What a movie. Julia Roberts is Kat's sister. Slutty Daisy. Kat Arujo. Those young Portuguese girls. Hard to get out of Mystic. I know Dan Wojcicki agrees.
I love Mystic Pizza. So does Dan Wojcicki, my friend.
Vince D'Onofrio, underrated performance.
Yes.
Lily Taylor, is that her name?
Yes, Lily Taylor.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe she's only 48.
Well, she was young in Mystic Pizza.
Yeah, I guess that's
Julia
true.
Roberts was the older slut
right.
sister. Kat, going to Yale. One day you're going to tell me what you put in that pizza sauce, aren't you? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, Annabeth Gish is from the Kirk, known as Albuquerque, New Mexico. Grew up in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Just like me. She went to Duke.
I love the Cubs.
She went to Duke, and she was a Kappa.
I heard her mom paid $500,000 for her to go to Duke.
Mom was
and another $250,000 to get into the Kappa Gamma.
Mom was an elementary school teacher. Her first role, teen film, Desert Bloom. I don't remember. 88, Mystic Pizza. So.
You'll always have Mystic Pizza.
Hey, she was Earp's wife in the other Wyatt Earp. The Costner one.
Yeah.
Yeah, me.
I remember her in...
She was Eisenhower's wife in Nixon. How about that? That's good.
Remember John Cryer is Hiding Out?
Oh, that was bad. That was early.
She was big in there. One of the great 80s cable classics.
Shag. That was a good one. She was in that. She was in Steel opposite Shaq in 97.
Okay, missed that one.
In 01... As fully functional employee, Adam would know. She starred in The X-Files. Her and Robert Patrick, old Bob Patrick, took over when Mulder and Scully faded out. Well, it went down. It was like the extreme from
Van Halen. Yeah.
Do you remember that when Gish was on The X-Files?
Yeah, season 9. Which did not end well, but they brought her back anyway.
Yeah, they brought her back when they did the revival.
Oh, good one.
She's done a lot of TV and stuff like that.
She's very much hated by X-Files fans.
Understandable. I mean, she's not, you know, when Mulder and Scully are gone, you're going to hate the replacements. It's just like Van Halen. You said it, P.
Yeah, and a lot of TV network stuff nowadays, like Matt. got X-Files revival, stuff like that. Married a stuntman from the X-Files in 01, got 2 kids.
So if I'm to take something away from this, it's
Mystic Pizza is
the Gary Cherone of X-Files.
Well, you could be blaming on Bob Patrick.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Maybe
Gary Cherone, you know what
maybe
I mean?
It wasn't Annabeth. Maybe it was Patrick.
But
it was old BP.
I mean, I don't like her look now, but I liked it back in the day.
Yeah.
Because of Mystic Pizza.
Why are you doing that?
What?
You were just kind of like, Mystic Pizza. You got what? a little grind in your hips.
No,
there
I don't,
you said
man.
Mystic
what are you
pizza?
Talking about?
Mystic Pizza.
Grind your own hips, you weirdo. You look like you're dancing at the Jet Strip. We'll be right back.
Jet Strip.
We'll be right back with Quick Hits. You watch Mystic Pizza. It's a great film.